Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Warm welcome. Happy Resurrection Day to you. We celebrate that Jesus is the first fruits from the dead, risen and alive, ascended on high, and we are going to be the next part of the harvest. Or at least that's true if you are a follower of Jesus. And if not, you have the opportunity later on this morning to become a follower of him, which is great news, the best news ever in all the world. Amen?
Amen.
If you're thinking, well, I'm not so sure that by the end of the service this morning I'll be ready to make that decision. Okay, but we have something else that you might like as well. It's called the Alpha Course. And our Alpha team, Jamal and his volunteers, will be at the back after the service. There's a poster there which says, keep searching. It's good to search, especially when you're searching for a treasure. If you knew that there was treasure buried in our car park this morning, worth millions of pounds, I'm sure you'd all be dashing off to the local hire centre to get your jackhammer. I certainly would. And we'd search, we would dig out that treasure. And there is treasure to be found, and it's an eternal treasure. And that is hope that we've just sang about. Hope in Jesus, the risen Lord, the risen Saviour, who's coming again very soon. So we encourage you, we exhort you, keep searching. And maybe the Alpha Course is one way that you can do that. And this morning you can get more information and register to be part of the Alpha Course, which is starting soon. Wednesday the 19th of April, so it's just around the corner. Last thing, if you're a guest with us this morning, we give you an especially warm welcome, and we have guest packs. I've already been giving some out. There's one right here. And in this pack, there is some information about our church dating back almost 100 years. Next year is our 100th anniversary, and in the free book that's in there, in one of the chapters, it has the history of this chapel, us as a church. And so we'd love to give you one of these this morning before you leave. And there's also a free voucher for a piece of cake in our coffee shop. Free cake on a Monday morning. Sorry, I'll get this right, because if not, you'll quote me and it will be false advertising. And I'll be paying for all the free cake. You get a free tea or coffee when you purchase a piece of cake. That's the correct way around. I love it. Well done, Louise. But all the better, there is free cake today, Louise has just reminded me. So we're going to celebrate the Lord's goodness, his faithfulness. And one of the ways we'll do that is with Daniel and Nathan's baptism a little later in the service. But before we do, let's pray together and then we'll have a time of sung worship. Lord, we worship you. We worship you as our risen Saviour every day. We did so yesterday. We did so last Sunday. If you don't return today, then we'll continue to worship you as our risen Saviour tomorrow. And come next Sunday, we'll be doing the same. And if you do return today, then many of us will be in heaven with you, worshipping you, our risen Saviour, seeing you face to face, because you're not dead. You are alive. You're well, and you're here among us by your Spirit. And from the very outset, Lord, we say, be praised, be exalted among us. We want you to be the one who is worshipped this day and always, because this is the day that you've made. Therefore, we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We agree to that. Let's stand to our feet and have a... are we? No, we're not. No. We're doing things a little out of the ordinary this morning, which is why I'm slightly thrown. We're going to have sung worship later in the service, but we'll all... Jamal. At the back there is my Bible, which I'm going to need. If you wouldn't mind running it to the front for me, that would save me a trip to the back and back to the front again. Yes, thank you. That's the one. Perfect. We are going to see the scripture that we've been going through. We've been working as a church through Mark's Gospel. And we've preached right from chapter 1 all the way through to chapter 15. And this morning we're going to see the very last chapter, chapter 16. And ordinarily, we turn to our Bibles and we read it, or somebody reads it for us. But there's a set of videos, which is brilliant in portraying, in a visual form, the reading from Mark. And so this morning, we're going to have read to us Mark chapter 16, but also portrayed visually for us. So if you turn your attention to the screen, we'll watch that together. Thanks, Stuart.
Placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it.
There we go. If you'd like to see more of that video, it's available on YouTube. And there are versions of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And perhaps, I don't know, later in the year, maybe we'll go through one of those other books and watch some of the others. Have you enjoyed watching the scriptures being read, those of you who've seen it? Somebody, B, just leant over to me just as it started playing and said, "I love these." And I do too. They're brilliantly produced. So, if you want to see it again, have a look on YouTube and just type in the search bar, LUMO, Mark's Gospel, LUMO. I guess it means luminosity or luminescent or something such as that, or short version of. In the scripture there, we just heard that Mark recorded for us the words of an angel. Now, we might be impressed by that. I think we probably should be. But what's even more impressive is that we have recorded for us the words of God himself. However, what were the words that the angel said in verse 6 of that last chapter of Mark there? The angel said, "Do not be alarmed. He needed to say that because the women were no different to you or me. Standing there in front of an angel was a shocking thing for them to experience, and so they needed some reassurance, understandably. And he said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus from Nazareth who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen." A church was holding a passion play over the Easter weekend. They'd put a play together, and 5-year-old Brian had the pivotal line in the whole of the play: "He's not here, he has risen." But when it came to his part, as children often do, as you possibly have, I know I did at the school production, Christmas production, poor Brian forgot his line. And so his kind Sunday school teacher was sitting on the front row. She leant forward quietly and whispered his line to him to remind him, "He's not here, he's risen." Well, Brian thought he heard what she said, so he confidently stepped forward to the microphone and shouted triumphantly, "He's not here, he's in prison." Nothing could be further from the truth. He is most definitely not in prison. But that funny illustration makes a point for us all, that the majority of us, in fact, I would say every single one of us, at one time or another, has misunderstood the things of God, or we've thought incorrectly about the things of God. So perhaps you're here this morning and you're thinking, "Well, I don't even believe in God." Okay, thank you for your honesty. Many of us didn't used to believe in God at one time or another. Perhaps you're here this morning and you say, "Well, I believe there is a God or some greater power, but I don't believe that Jesus is God. I believe that Jesus is a good teacher, or was a good teacher. Perhaps he was a prophet, but I don't believe he's God." Well, then you're in good company, because there are many people, many millions of people around the world, and again, some here among us this morning who also used to think that way. So nothing unusual there in a sense. But I want to suggest to you that we have all been wrong, and some still are thinking incorrectly about such things. Forgive me if that offends you, but the truth, as C.S. Lewis said, is the truth. We can't have two opposites at the same time both being true. Either God is real or he isn't. Either God is alive or he isn't. He can't be both alive and dead. Either Jesus is Lord and God or he isn't. And as C.S. Lewis then went on to say, if he isn't Lord, then he certainly isn't a good man, and he definitely isn't a prophet. He's either a liar, a lunatic, or, the third and final conclusion has to be, or he is Lord. Jesus' death certainly wasn't a surprise to him. Whatever you think of him, he foretold his death on numerous occasions. And so... we can't say that his death was a surprise to him. Do you remember he said to Judas, one of his own students, his own disciples, he said, "You will betray me into the hands of the authorities, and they will have me put to death by the Romans." He knew his death was coming. It wasn't a surprise to him. And he'd foretold it even before that. So it wasn't like the writing was on the wall, so to speak. Even before it was evident to everybody that he was going to be put to death, he already knew. He was already saying, "I am going to be put to death." And he said, "It's for a reason. I am purposely laying down my life as a ransom for all human beings." Why did a ransom have to be paid? Well, he said, "I'm going to die because everybody else deserves to die. And I, the only one who don't deserve to die, I'm going to give my perfect life for those sinners." Talking about you and talking about me. Sin is to disobey God in any respect, and that includes failing to obey him. You might say, "Well, I don't disobey God." Well, I'd question that, but even if you could claim that was true, we all fail God by failing to obey everything that he tells us to positively do, as well as doing things that he tells us not to do. Moreover, Jesus gave his life as a ransom to free us from our slavery to sin, but moreover, through his resurrection, he dealt with the consequence of our sin. And the consequence of sin is death and hell. Again, you may say, "Well, I don't even believe in hell." Well, I'm pretty sure you'll believe in death, because as Churchill once said, death comes equally to us all, and when it comes, it makes us all equal. There's no escaping death, that is for sure. And Jesus says, I have overcome death, and I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. And you this morning can have life through him, so that you can be assured of eternal life, resurrected life, full and abundant life. How can you have that, you say? Well, it's simple, and thank God that he did make it simple for us. He said you must admit first that you have sinned against him. If we don't admit to God that we've sinned against him and confess that, then there would be no sin to be forgiven in our minds, even if there is sin. So we admit to him, Lord, I have sinned against you. Then we believe that he is the only answer. He is the only remedy to our sin. Not ourselves, not our good works. Our good works could never outweigh our bad, and we are unholy, therefore we could never be turned back in our own strength to being holy before a perfect and holy God. So we must believe fully, trust, faith fully in Jesus alone. And then we say, Lord, having believed and having admitted that I've sinned, I commit my whole life in worship to you. Full surrender. Now, none of us will perfectly live up to that, but our salvation isn't dependent on that, thank God. But we make that commitment in our heart, and one of the symbols of that is baptism. And I wonder if we can just have the slide, the PowerPoint slide put up there, just one moment before we come to baptize Nathan and Daniel. And this illustrates where Jesus' resurrection comes in and what it symbolizes in baptism. Baptism is an outward expression of your inward decision. And I'm sharing this with Nathan and Daniel really now, but for the benefit of the rest of us as well. When we stand in the water, it symbolizes your belief in Jesus Christ's death on the cross for your sins. When you are submerged or immersed, it symbolizes burial. It demonstrates your belief in the physical death and burial of Christ. And as you rise out of the water, it illustrates your belief in Christ's victory over death by his resurrection. And as you walk out of the water this morning, I want you to remember that that signifies your belief that Jesus is alive and will return soon from heaven. They're the theological truths. Now, how about the personal truths in the next slide? Standing in the water symbolizes the death of your sinful nature, the Bible tells us. Being immersed in the water demonstrates the burial of your old life. Rising out of the water illustrates your resurrection through Christ's resurrection. And walking out of the water signifies your intention to walk daily with Christ, living wholeheartedly for him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, many of us are visual learners. And so we thank you that you've given us symbols that are there in front of us, illustrating, signifying, symbolizing, and painting a picture to us. Lord, those of us who've died to sin and been raised again to new life in you, rejoice in your goodness and your gift this morning, because that's what your salvation is. It is nothing short of a gift from you in its entirety. Even the faith, the trust that we place in you, that too is a gift from you. And therefore, none of us can say, well, at least I did my bit. We can't boast in ourselves in any way, Lord. But this morning we boast in you. We boast in your goodness and your grace that is going to be demonstrated before us as Nathan and Daniel are baptized this morning. And even now as they share their story, their testimony of how you've saved them and the work that you've miraculously done in their life. Lord, bless them. Give them the boldness and the grace that's required to stand publicly today and make their declaration of faith before us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.